Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to examine what John taught about testing the spirits. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, again together. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, in the last broadcast, we were looking at the fact that John wrote this passage to deal with the Gnostic heresy that had attacked the Christian church late in the first century over the issue of the full humanity or the person of Jesus Christ. Unlike many other false religions, the Gnostics fully accepted the deity of Jesus, but they rejected his full humanity. The Gnostics believed that Jesus was a spiritual concept, but not a literal human being. These heretics believed that God only appeared to be human, and that that was only an illusion. Now, I want to go over very carefully what John taught here so we can get the impact of what John was talking about. So I want to look at verse 3 again. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Now, what we have here is John telling us that those who believe and teach that Jesus Christ was not a real human being are not saved. But John calls them antichrists. And as we saw last time, that is true even if those people have a degree of morality about them that is good, and it is true even if those people may agree with us about some of the cultural issues of our day. For example, an antichrist may well be against abortion. He may well be against homosexual marriages, and he may want conservative Supreme Court judges. And so because this person may agree with us on some of the social and cultural issues of our day, we may be tempted to think that this person is saved, that he is a brother in Christ, or that he is a believer and a Christian. And that temptation would be even greater if that person talked about God all the time, and if he fully accepted without any reservations the deity of Jesus Christ. But I beg you to hear me about this. Even though we may be in agreement with many groups about very important subjects, we must hold to a biblical definition of what a Christian is. And if in fact that person denies that Jesus was a literal human being, the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God written here by the Apostle John declares very clearly that this person is not a believer. He is not a Christian. He is not a brother in Jesus Christ, and he is not saved. In fact, the Bible says here that that person is an antichrist. So while we can certainly join hands with these people in many of our cultural wars, and we can stand side by side with them concerning the great social issues of our day, we have to be very careful to draw the line and be very clear and faithful about this. A genuine Christian accepts all that Scripture reveals about the person of Jesus Christ. And so for anyone to alter or change or take away or add anything to the Scripture about what it says about Jesus absolutely affects whether or not this person is saved. Now, many today would say that that's just nonsense, that as long as a person loves Jesus, that whatever else a person believes really doesn't matter. And the people who think like this place a higher value on getting along with other people than they do with being faithful to the Word of God. And all I can say is that I would agree with them if John had not written what he wrote here. But John did write this, and God the Holy Spirit inspired these words that say, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. So, as good as some of these arguments may sound, the Apostle John did not agree with that line of thinking. So, if I have a choice of who I am going to be odds with, a person that I know or John the Apostle, I may well love these people very much, but it really isn't any contest. John, Scripture, Jesus wins every time. And these are the hard choices that believers have had to make since day one. It has never been popular to be a Christian. It has always divided people. The gospel is now and has always been patently offensive and foolish to the lost. And so there is a natural barrier between those who are the children of light and those who are the children of darkness. And we've got two choices about that. We can be faithful to Jesus, and we can stand on the Word of God, and we can refuse to be ashamed of the gospel, and we can resist the pressure to cave in to the demands of a pagan culture, or we can be unfaithful to Jesus, and we can be embarrassed at the demands that the gospel makes on us, and we can refuse to stand on the Word of God, and we can be very popular with the world, but we can't do both. But understand this, dear friends, if you choose to be faithful to Jesus, you will be persecuted. Jesus promised you that. You will be talked about. People will call you everything except a Christian, including some people who are in the church. And you will be maligned and laughed at, and Jesus will stand by your side. And so the fact that Jesus is pleased with you has got to matter more to you than what anybody else thinks, or you will never stand for divine truth for very long. It is embarrassing to me to hear Christians invent a new term to describe those who agree with Scripture about the social issues of our day and yet deny the person of Jesus Christ. When they call these people, quote, people of faith, what in the world does that term supposed to mean? When you call someone a person of faith simply because they agree with Scripture about abortion or family values, but at the same time they absolutely disagree with Scripture about either the deity or the humanity of Jesus, when you call those people of faith, aren't you giving the idea that those people are saved? Don't we run the risk over time of coming to believe that as long as someone is a conservative or a Republican, or as long as they get their information from Fox News, or as long as they love their wife and are against homosexual marriage, and as long as they're helping poor people and doing good works, that that's the same thing as being born again? And then when somebody like John begins to teach 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, you turn him off or push him aside or reject what he taught in the Bible, or you call somebody like John divisive or mean-spirited or unloving or legalistic, because who cares about theology when our culture is at war? I mean, who cares about the person of Jesus if we can save our nation? Well, evidently God cares, and evidently the Holy Spirit cares, and evidently this stuff matters because the Apostle John wrote it as the Holy Spirit moved upon him. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Blair. Are you saying that believing correctly about the person of Jesus is more important than getting conservative judges on the Supreme Court? No, I'm saying that the Apostle John wrote in Holy Scripture and said that it was more important. Look, I love my country a lot, and I grieve along with many of you that our culture is sliding down into the pit, but I care more where a person is going to spend eternity, and so did John. Now, Don't get out of this that I'm saying that we should not fight against the dismantling of our civilization. I do fight, and I believe that we all should. All I'm saying here is that simply because a person is right politically and even socially is not enough. They must be saved, or they are not a Christian, and they're not going to go to heaven. So whatever is important to God, and whatever was important enough for God the Holy Spirit to inspire to be written in Scripture, ought to be important to us. And the divisions that God himself made are the very same divisions that we ought to make. And whatever God emphasized are the things we should emphasize. And what God didn't care enough to talk a lot about, we don't need to care to talk about it a lot either. The point here is that what a person believes and what a person teaches, especially about Jesus and God and grace, was viewed as being way more important to the men who wrote the Bible than it seems to be to us today. And I'm saying that's not a good thing. And because we don't place a very high premium on scriptural integrity like they did back then, we are all too often eager to throw doctrine aside in the name of unity or in the name of love. And that course of action has proved itself to be very unwise. Now, just what did John mean when he wrote in verse 3, "This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world"? Many times when someone hears the word Antichrist, they immediately think about the man of sin that Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who is supposedly going to rise up at some point in the future. So let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 to see what Paul actually said. "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God." Now, most people today are taught and they believe that this person, whoever he is, will at some point in the future go into the Jewish temple that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem and blaspheme God. And most people label this man of sin as being the Antichrist. And I agree that this man will be Antichrist for sure. But when we label the man of sin that it is described here in 2 Thessalonians as being the Antichrist, we run the risk that may tend to cause us to believe that there will only be one Antichrist and that there have not been any Antichrists until this man rises up. And that's simply not true. I want you to read with me 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us." Now, in these two verses, John tells us several things. First of all, John says that over 1,900 years ago when he wrote this verse, that there were already what he called many Antichrists already in the world. So by that, we can see that the man of sin of 2 Thessalonians, as bad as he will be, is not the only Antichrist, and he's not even the first Antichrist. John tells us the very same thing here that he said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, that those to whom John wrote this epistle had already heard earlier that Antichrists were coming. And Lord willing, on the next broadcast, we will explore what this means as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.